Introducing the Windows Desktop. The first place you land on after you've logged into your computer is known as the Windows Desktop. The desktop is the default screen and visually displays icons that open up different programs on your computer or documents or even websites. This area of icons takes up the majority of your screen. Running across the bottom of the screen are several different items. First is the Start button. Clicking this opens what's called the Start menu. The Start menu is where you go when you want to open programs, the control panel, change settings to your computer, turn it off, etc. Think of the Start menu as a launch point to your computer. To the right of the Start button and running across the bottom of your screen is what's called the Taskbar. The Taskbar displays any open programs you might be running. For example, you might have a word processor open, you might have a web browser open, your email could be open, you might have some music playing in the background, and of course you have WindowEyes. The taskbar will have buttons representing each of these programs. If you click one of these buttons, then that program that you selected will gain focus. Typically, though, it's easier to use the Alt-Tab command to move between applications. To do this, you hold down the Alt key, and while that's being pressed, you hit the Tab key. And doing this will cycle you through all of your open programs. When you reach the program you want, just release the Alt key, and your focus will be placed back into that program. You can also hold down the Alt and Shift keys and press the Tab key repeatedly to move through your open programs in the opposite direction. This is mainly useful if you have a lot of applications running, and you happen to know that the program you're interested in is near the bottom of the list. To the right of the taskbar is what's called the System Tray, or Notification Area. The System Tray usually shows running utilities. The difference between a program and a utility is a program is something you interact with very regularly, like a word processor, whereas a utility could be a very small program which lets you adjust something in Windows or monitor an activity. For example, the Windows volume control is usually found here, the status of any networks you might be connected to is found here, and any third-party programs that happen to notify you regularly of certain activities will also be found here. WindowEyes itself can actually qualify as both a regular program and a utility, so we let you choose where you want WindowEyes to be displayed. By default, it's set to appear in the taskbar, and you can subsequently reach it by pressing Alt-Tab. But you can also place it in the notification area or system tray, and the only ways to reach it would be to either click on the icon in the system tray itself, or by pressing the Control backslash command. If you're using Windows XP or Windows Vista, your desktop may also include the Quick Launch. The Quick Launch displays graphics for any programs you find yourself using very regularly. Windows automatically selects a few programs for you that will be placed in the Quick Launch, but you can add your own if you choose to. To be honest, though, the Quick Launch is more useful for sighted users. It isn't really all that useful from a keyboard perspective. You can use it if you want to, but we aren't going to look at it terribly closely in this tutorial. If you're using Windows 7, the Quick Launch has actually been combined with the taskbar. You can pin an application to the taskbar and access it either by clicking on it or by pressing a hotkey. Just like with the Quick Launch, Windows 7 already comes with a few programs pinned to the taskbar for you. You can remove what's there or add your own. So if you're going through the taskbar and you happen to see icons for programs there that you know for a fact aren't running, this is most likely because these applications have been pinned there so that you can easily get to them without having to search for them. The process of pinning and unpinning applications really does go beyond the scope of this tutorial, so we will leave that for you to explore more on your own if you're interested in doing so. Now that you have an idea of what the desktop looks like visually, let's go through each of these items and explore them. There are several ways you can get to the desktop. My preferred method is to press the Windows key, and while that's being held down, press the letter D. So Windows key D will take us to the desktop.
Desktop. Libraries unselected. List view 1 of 31.
We are in a list view, so we can use our arrow keys to move around the desktop and explore the icons. So let's press the down arrow and see where that takes us.
Steve 2 of 31. Computer 3 of 31. Network 4 of 31. Recycle bin 5 of 31. Control panel 6 of 31. Desktop.ini9 of 31. Desktop.ini9 of 31.
Okay, we're at the bottom of that row, and notice that we're on 9 of 31, whereas before we were on 7 of 31. This is because you can arrange the icons on your desktop in any order you like. Pressing the right arrow will move us to the next column of icons on the desktop.
MP3 tank 18 of 31.
What's up, arrow?
Miranda M 29 of 31. Desktop.ini 24 of 31. Winamp 22 of 31. Mozilla Thunderbird 3.0 Beta 4 16 of 31.
Notice that the index numbers that we're hearing, the blah of 31, they're all out of order. Unfortunately, Windows will not automatically organize your icons for you. You can manually do this yourself so that the number of columns and rows on your desktop match, but by default, it's kind of a haphazard mess. If you know the name of the icon you're interested in getting to, you can quickly type it on the desktop and press the Enter key to open it or launch the program or open the website, whatever that icon's going to do. I personally prefer to use the Start menu to open most programs, and you'll see why in just a moment. So let's press the Tab key to get off the desktop.
Start button.
And now we're on the Start button. I can press the Enter key here to open the Start menu, or the Windows key by itself. Both do the same thing. So let's press the Windows key.
Start menu. Search box, search programs and files, edit box.
This is an area where Windows XP, Windows Vista, and Windows 7 will differ greatly. When you open the Start menu in Windows XP, you actually land in a menu. You can up and down arrow through this menu, and when you get to a pull-down, you can press the right arrow key to open that pull-down and explore the menus further. In Windows Vista, Microsoft actually replaced the Start menu with something a bit more modern. But in Vista, you could also go back to the XP-style Start menu if you liked. In Windows 7, though, you don't have that option anymore. The new Start menu is the only thing that's available to you. Although the new Start menu differs quite a bit from the old style, I actually prefer it, and you'll see why very quickly. When we open the Start menu under Windows Vista, if you're using the new Start menu, or Windows 7, you land in a search field. Here you can type part of the name of a program, a document, a media file, an email message, an internet shortcut, and so on. So if you're looking for something on your computer, you can just press this key and start typing. And as soon as Windows starts finding results, you can arrow through them, and when you get to the one you want, just press the Enter key. We'll do that in just a moment. If we tab,
List view 1 of 9.
We get to the next section of the Start menu. The next area of the Start menu lists some frequently used locations on your computer. Let's down arrow and explore this. The first option, in my case, is Steve, because that's the username that I have set up on this computer. Pressing the down arrow will take us to the second option.
Documents 2 of 9.
That will open my documents.
Pictures 3 of 9.
Pictures.
Music 4 of 9.
Music.
Computer 5 of 9.
Computer.
Control panel 6 of 9.
Control panel.
Devices and printers 7 of 9. Default programs 8 of 9. Help and support 9 of 9.
So as you can see, this will take you to some of the main areas of the computer. One thing that I'm not so keen on with the Start menu here is that, unlike regular Windows controls, for example, most of the time when you're in a list view and you reach the top or bottom, you can't go past those boundaries. Normally, if I were to press a down arrow, since we're at the bottom of the list, I would just stay there, and WindowEyes would keep telling me the last item in that list. But in the Start menu, I'm actually taken to the Shutdown button.
Shutdown button.
If I press down again,
See list view 1 of 9.
I'm taken back to the top of that list.
Shutdown button.
Now, the Shutdown button is just to the right of the search box. So if you want to quickly shut down your computer, you can press the Windows key to open the Start menu and the right arrow to get to the Shutdown button. If you press the right arrow again, that will actually open up a list of shutdown options. Let's do that real quick just so you can see what you can do from here.
Hibernate H saves your session and turns off the computer. When you turn on the computer, Windows restores your session.
So we can just up and down arrow through that like any menu.
Switch user W. Switch users without closing programs. Log off L. Close programs and log off. Log O. Log this computer. Restart R. Closes all open programs, shuts down Windows, and then starts Windows again. Sleep S. Keeps your session in memory and puts the computer in a low power state so that you can quickly resume working.
So this is an easy way to quickly turn your computer off or put it to sleep, hibernate it, lock it, and so forth. I'm currently not interested in doing any of that, so I'm going to press the left arrow to close this menu.
Menu closed.
Okay. Now we're back on the shutdown button. Let's press the Tab key again to explore.
No selected item list view.
This next area actually contains a list of your frequently run programs. I've actually disabled that feature on this machine, which is why this list is empty. And just like before, if you reach the top or bottom of the list and you keep trying to arrow in that direction, you will wind up in another part of the Start menu. This is why I much prefer tabbing and shift tabbing between each of these controls. It makes a little more sense and keeps you from getting lost. Let's tab again.
All programs button.
All Programs. If I press the Enter key here, this will open a tree that lists all of the programs installed on this computer. Let's go ahead and do that now. If you're using Windows Vista, pressing Enter here will take you to that tree view, and you'll be able to browse the programs on your computer. In the case of Windows 7, two things just happened. First, the caption on the All Programs button changed to Back, and the list of all programs did actually appear. Unlike Windows Vista, though, my focus didn't move. So to get to that list, I have to press the Shift-Tab key. Let's do that now.
WinLAM closed 56 of 56 preview tab 2.
Okay, there's WinLAM. That's the last item in my programs list. Just like any tree view, you can arrow up and down through this list.
Windows Virtual PC closed 55 of 56.
Now I'm just up arrowing.
Windows Live closed 54 of 56. Windows Eyes closed 53 of 56. WinAmp closed 52 of 56. TrueCrypt closed 51 of 56.
Let's say I want to go explore the options in the WindowEyes group. I will down arrow until I hear WindowEyes again.
WindowEyes closed 53 of 56.
There it is. Just like with the settings tree in the WindowEyes control panel, I can press the right arrow to expand this group.
WindowEyes expanded 53 of 56, 3 items.
And I can down arrow to the first option within the WindowEyes group.
WindowEyes 1 of 3, depth 3.
There's WindowEyes.
Advanced options closed 2 of 3.
There's advanced options.
Documentation closed 3 of 3.
And documentation. Let's move up to advanced options and see what we can do there.
Advanced options closed 2 of 3.
Press the right arrow to open.
Advanced options expand.
And then the down arrow.
Virtual channel maintenance depth 4. Documentation closed 3 of 3 depth 3.
Okay, so we have one option in there called virtual channel maintenance. And I'm not going to explain what that is. Now this isn't a true tree view of sorts. Regardless of where you are in a tree, pressing the left arrow will close whatever branch you're in and place you in the one that's right above it. If I press the left arrow right now, here's what happens.
Default programs list view 8 of 9.
Our focus actually moved out of the All Programs tree and moved back to that second area that we explored before. If I press the right arrow,
advanced options expanded 2 of 3, 1 item preview, depth 3.
We land back in the All Programs tree, but now we're at the top of the branch we just opened. So to close a branch, you have to actually up arrow to the beginning of it, in this case, advanced options, and then press the left arrow.
Advanced options closed 2 of 3.
And then if we wanted to close WindowEyes, we would have to up arrow again to WindowEyes.
WindowEyes 1 of 3. WindowEyes expanded 53 of 56, 3 items, depth 2.
And then press the left arrow again.
WindowEyes closed 53 of 56.
So again, this isn't a true tree view, but it's usable with some practice. But I much prefer the search box and the start menu, so let's tab until we get there.
Back button. Search box, search programs and files, edit box.
Okay, so now we're back in the search box. This is a very handy tool. You can open all kinds of things from here, not just programs. You can get to individual items in the Windows control panel. You can open documents, music, pictures, email messages, and websites. What's nice is you don't need to type in the full name of what you're looking for. For example, Windows includes a program called Notepad. This is a basic text editor that I happen to use quite often. To get to Notepad, I can start typing the word Notepad into the search box, and let's see what happens.
N. O. Internet Explorer, no add-ons.
No, we don't want that. Let's keep typing. Let's try adding T.
T. Notepad.
There's Notepad. If that's what I want, I can press the Enter key.
Untitled Notepad. Edit box.
And there's Notepad. You'll find that this is very useful when the document or program you're looking for is buried somewhere and you simply don't know where it is. For example, when I started using Windows 7 on a regular basis, I had no idea where the remote desktop feature was located. I looked high and low and honestly could not find it. This is where the search feature of the Start menu actually came in very handy, because all I have to do is press the Windows key to open the Start menu.
Start menu. Search box, search programs and files, edit box.
And just start typing the word remote.
R. E. Backup and restore. M. Remote desktop connection.
And there it is. Remote desktop connection. All I have to do is press the Enter key here to get to that. Now let's erase that
M.
with the backspace
backup
key.
E. R.
Now let's say I want to open Microsoft Word. I can type Microsoft Word, or I'll just type the word Word.
W-O-R-D, Microsoft Word 2010.
Okay, there's Microsoft Word 2010. I happen to know that there is more than one result here. So to move through these results, I can just use the up and down arrows. Let's press the down arrow since we're already at the first result.
WordPad.
There's WordPad. What happens if I go down again?
Control panel 12.
So when you get multiple results like this, Windows will actually categorize them for you. In this case, the first category we got were programs. Next are any results that fit within the control panel. Then we have documents. And we can use the up and down arrows to move through these search results. And when we get to the one we're interested in, just press the Enter key to open it. But in this case, I'm not interested in opening anything else, so I'll just press the Escape key to exit the Start menu.
Untitled Notepad.
And now we're back in Notepad. I'm also not interested in using Notepad at the moment, so I'm going to close that with Alt F4. That's the Alt key. And while that's held down, press F4 and then release both keys.
Setting ZBrail displays 2 of 2 preview depth 2. Arrow.
Okay, that took us back over to the WindowWise control panel, which actually is not where we want to be right now, so I'll just press the Escape key to minimize that.
Start button.
And take us back to the Start menu. Let's tab to get to the taskbar.
Taskbar Internet Explorer button.
Notice that the first option here is Internet Explorer. Recall that I mentioned that Windows includes some items that are pinned to the taskbar. Internet Explorer is one of them. And I've concluded this simply because Internet Explorer is not running, yet it's in the taskbar. To move through items here, you can use the left and right arrow keys. Since the first item on the taskbar has already been focused, let's press the right arrow to move to the next one.
Windows Explorer button.
There's Windows Explorer. That's another program that's already been pinned to the taskbar for you.
Windows Media Player button.
That's another one.
Window Eyes button.
So since Window Eyes is up, I can press the Enter key here to focus the control panel.
Displays and list view 1 of 372. Dialog Window Eyes.
Okay, and that focused Window Eyes just as we would expect. If I had another program open, such as Notepad, then my focus would return to Notepad. Let's press the Escape key again to minimize Window Eyes.
Start button.
And press the Tab key until we get to the next area, which is the System Tray.
Taskbar Internet Explorer button. SysTray Dropbox 0.7.110 All Files Up to Date button.
Recall that the system tray is primarily meant to show utilities. The first item in my system tray is a utility called Dropbox. It doesn't usually require any user interaction once it's set up, but this utility will occasionally display notifications to me. The system tray is full of these little utilities. Let's press the down arrow key to see what else we have.
Safely remove hardware and eject media button. Dell touchpad button. Computer status potentially unprotected button. Solve PC issues 1 message button. Fully charged 100 button. Plogenet internet access button. Speakers headphones 100 button. 6:43 p.m. Tuesday, 12/28/2010 clock.
So you can arrow through all of these items, and if you find one that interests you, you can press the Enter key to open it. By default, Windows will actually hide some of your less frequently used icons. If the item you're interested in happens to be hidden, you'll either have to unhide it in older versions of Windows, or when you get to the part of the system tray in Windows 7 that says Notification Chevron, press the Enter key and then start down arrowing to see all of the items that are available. WindowWise includes its own method of accessing the system tray, and along with being a bit easier to use, you will also be able to access all of the icons in the system tray regardless of their hidden state. So let's press Insert S to open this dialog and see what we can do with it.
Dropbox 0.7.110 All Files Up to Date List Box 1 of 8. Dialog System Tray.
So the first control we land in is a list of all of the system tray icons. We can up and down arrow through this just like any list.
Safely remove hardware and eject media. Dell touchpad 3 of 8. Computer status potentially unprotected. Solve PC issues 1 mess. Fully charged 100. Plogenet internet. Speakers headphones 100 8 of 8.
Now that I've found the item I'm interested in, let's press the Tab key to see what options are available.
Single left click S button.
We can simulate a single click of the left mouse button.
Single right click R button.
We can simulate a single right click of the mouse button on this item.
Double left click D button.
We can do a left double click.
Double right click O button.
Double right click.
Cancel button.
And we can cancel.
Speakers headphones 100 list box 8 of 8.
Typically, when you left click an item in the system tray, that will open the window associated with that icon. For example, if I were to left-click the volume icon right now, that would open the window's volume control. Right-clicking an item usually opens a menu. For instance, when I reached the Dell touchpad option, I could right-click that to open a menu related to the touchpad. I could enable the touchpad, I could disable it, or set certain properties for it. There is no absolute rule that says left-clicking will open a window and right-clicking will open a menu for that item, but that's generally how system tray icons work. So let's see what happens if I left-click the speakers icon. To do this, I will simply press Alt-S.
100 of 100 track bar. Dialogue.
And here we are in the volume control. I can change the volume by using the arrow keys or the page up and page down keys.
80 of 100, 60 of 100, 40 of 100.
And notice the speech is getting quieter.
60, 80 of 100 of 100.
And now we turned it back up. Now that we're done with that window, we can press Alt F4.
Start button.
And now we're back on the start button. That basically wraps it up for the Windows desktop section. But before we move on, I want to mention a few Windows hotkeys that might prove useful for you. First is Windows D. That will focus the Windows desktop. Pressing Windows M will minimize all of your applications and usually lands your focus on the Start button. If you're using Windows XP, Windows Tab will take you to the taskbar. To do that in Windows Vista and Windows 7, press Windows T. Of course, the Windows key by itself will open the Start menu. Windows B, as in boy, will take you to the system tray. Now, this is the Windows version of the system tray with all the buttons, not the Windowise version we just looked at with Insert S. So these are Windows keys. These are not Windowise hotkeys. So even when Windowise isn't running, you can press these keys to move your focus around as we just described. Now that you have a basic understanding of how the desktop works, let's move on to the next section.